So I'm glad to be here. It's been a, some of you know, I guess not too many of you know me, but about 30 years ago, in the 80s, some of the some of your brothers and sisters in Christ who were here, anybody know Emily? Anybody? Keith? Anybody know Keith? Hey, Keith, yeah. So there was a whole group of people that went up to Cornell, and because Brother Lynn used to travel up to Cornell and share the gospel, and so he got a student group together, and so that's the connection. So it goes back to like 30 years ago. I got to know some of your, you know, earlier brothers and sisters in Christ. I was involved in the Rutgers retreat. Now it's in Hofstra. I think most people think I became a Chinese pastor, so I don't get to speak in English conference anymore. So I'm glad to be able to be here. And I thank God for bringing Pastor Dan and, you know, other leader, deacons, Chris, and some of you I haven't gotten to know, but I really thank God for the opportunity to share his words. The passage that we're going to be sharing is from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. How many of you heard the message on Jabez? Have you spoken on it? Are you planning to? Oh, okay. Well, this is from the book of Chronicles, which is good, you know, that I'm not repeating this very popular crusade on the prayer of Jabez. How many of you kind of got a hold of that little book? Okay, if not, you may hear about it. It comes from one of my you know, alumni from Dallas Seminary, Bruce Wilkinson, and he remembered the chaplain that used to speak in a chapel that mentioned this word from this passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 about a man named Jabez. And so out of that, he really popularized this prayer. And if you haven't come across it, great. So if you have your Bible, we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There's a whole bunch of names in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The descendants of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Cami, Hurd, and others. It's a whole list of names, but it gets to verse 9. It sort of stopped the flow of just naming name. Could be quite boring. How many of you are interested in just reading the genealogy? Anybody into genealogy? Anybody into tracking down your ancestors? Huh? We got one. Genealogy is an interesting kind of concept. It's very popular. So if you go to Utah, right, the Mormons, is this got a file on millions of people. The reason they want to baptize on behalf of the dead. And near the that center of search for the ancestor is ancestry.com. I'm not sure it will help us as Chinese, right? But there are very interesting data if you want to track down your history. But by and large, most of us would think that reading through the genealogy of the Old Testament, even Matthew and Luke, is somewhat boring, right? Can you have a devotion reading genealogy? Can God speak to you through names that you don't know, that you can't pronounce? Why would God list, spend so much time in the Old Testament and the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and Matthew listing these names? There must be a reason. If you're interested in genealogy or ancestry, we could talk more. But in today's passage, after this listing of these names that we don't know who they are, comes to verse 9. It mentioned a name, Jabez. It described him as Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The genealogy stopped. Name a person named Jabez. And the scripture introduced him in relationship to his brothers. Perhaps not just his physical brother, or it could be just his clan, his people, that he was more honorable than his brothers. You guys are studying Judges. So in context of this passage, it occurred during the time of the Judges, a very turbulent time. It's, some have described the book of Judges in seven cycle, right? People get into trouble. They sin. And God sent oppressor. And they are in bondage because of their sin. Then they cry out for the Lord's deliverance, and God does send deliverers in persons of judges, both men and women. And then they were relieved. They thank God, but the problem is that cycle repeat again, at least seventh time. And I think that speaks to our relationship and our walk with God. We have cycles of ups and downs. We don't learn our lesson. I don't. You know, I get into trouble, and I ask God for forgiveness. And then you would think that we're all going to be, you know, walking in the way that's pleasing to the Lord. But the scripture talks about in the time of somewhat chaos, in time when there is this description in the book of Judges at the end, everyone does what is right in his own eye. Extreme democracy, right? No one is in charge. There's no authority that is telling people what to do. There's no strong enough authority that keep people in line. And so the scripture talks about the description of this extreme democracy, right? But extreme turbulence. And the common was that because at that time, the people of God has no king. There was no one with the authority to control the behavior of the people. We know what that means, right? The Arab Spring caused chaos. Demonstration that we just gone through. We don't know what the ramification is. I went to Dallas Seminary. I spent 5 years there. I know the place. I used to walk around the same place. And it's really troubling, both for the officer who was shot and those black men who were shot in their car on the ground. Just put yourself in the family situation, no matter what side you're on, but to feel for the tragedy. This was a troubling time. And so the scripture presents Jabez in context, in relationship to his peers. And the term that is used to describe him was that he was more honorable. Well, what does it mean to be more honorable? What does it mean for you, someone to say, well, you are more honorable than your friends or your classmate or your coworker? To be honorable has a, you know, expansive definition. But here, in particular, in this passage, it helps us to understand Jabez being described as more honorable than his peers, his brothers. Right after that description, in contrast to his brother, the scripture brought up a woman. Now, most genealogy do not include women. So, ladies, you're barking up in the wrong tree. Because if you try to find out your root, right, in your Chinese genealogy, they don't include women, right? It's all male. It's all men, right? So the woman is lost somewhere. It's there. They provide the birth of the descendants, but in the genealogy of the Chinese. So one of my friends, she presented her film. She made a film about her journey to find her grandfather in Shenzhen, right? She grew up in Harlem, and she has a Chinese mother from Jamaica, right? Her brothers are black, except they have Chinese feature. So while they were in Harlem, you know, they made fun of them. Chinky eyes, right? So, but she began to decide to find her grandfather. Now, her name is not Chinese, right? Her name is, you know, American name. So she went to the village and tried to track down her grandfather. A genealogist in the old school, there's no room for women to be included after all these generations, right? But what the Chinese government has done is that because of Deng Xiaoping, right, equality, allow women to be part of the community, they made exception. So my friend was able to put her mother's name, insert it in this all-male genealogical, which tells you that genealogy could be made up, right, by people who... The question is that why is J-Bass' mother included in this genealogy that's predominantly male? And her name is not mentioned. Except J-Bass' mother had named him J-Bass. It's also a break from tradition, right? Most Chinese in the past, or culture in the past, in the Jewish culture, the men in the community name names, right? Here, it's interesting, break from that tradition, that J-Bass' mother gave him his name. Why? Not sure. And then the scripture said, J-Bass is named by his mother in a condition where she began to express herself. I gave birth to him in pain. So the naming of J-Bass was not a pleasant experience. His name is related to a painful experience. My name is Bayer, right? I had no choice. My mother gave me the name Bayer, right? So I used to be made fun of when I was in junior high school. Bayer aspirin, right? Cure of headache. Say, oh, I got a headache. Can you give me a Bayer, right? Well, at least I'm not, you know, born in pain. My mother remind me that I relieve pain, right? So kind of like, you know, all right. So now I like the name Bayer. I'm the only Bayer around. J-Bass was named by his mother. And in naming him, she expressed the condition in which her son was born, in pain. Ladies, you know, we have our sister got married, right? If they had known, or if you know that eventually you will suffer one of the greatest pain in human experience, I'm not sure you want to go near those guys, right? When my wife Nancy was a child, when we were in Dallas Seminary, she carried, she was like huge, right? Huge. And the doctor thought, well, you know, that's 24 hours later, nobody's coming out, right? So the doctor said, let's roll up our sleeve. We got to get this guy out. I was there, you know, I was taking pictures. No, I know other father would have fainted, and they would have stopped the procedure and resuscitate this guy, right? But I was okay. You know, I mean, 24 hours, she was agony, had to take epidural. I mean, same prayer out of Jewish guy when they get up in the morning, right? Thank God I'm not a woman. It was a horrible experience. I mean, to watch her in agony, and finally they had to cut her open, right? And I said, and she's looking at me, why did you take me out for dinner that time, right? So it was a painful experience. It turned out that she was carrying twins. We didn't know it, right? So the doctor took one out and said, congratulations, it's a boy. There's another one in there. No wonder she was like 12 and a half pounds So now the twins are okay. My oldest twin just got a new baby girl, so they got two boys, a boy and a girl. They're Korean, half Korean. And my second twin is married to a Korean, and they just got... So it's a horrible experience for my daughter-in-law, right? They said, why did I get involved with this stuff, you know? It's a major painful experience, a lot of inconvenience, you know, you got to quit your job, you got to think about getting babysitter and running around like crazy. So lady, I'm not trying to scare you, or guy. So that was the condition, a painful, but also could be emotional. It could be social. It could be a family situation. There's no mention of Jabez's father. Whether Jabez was a orphan, maybe Jabez was born out of wedlock, I don't know. Jabez was born, his father was gone, whether he would die early or went away. It was difficult for a mother to bear the child and have to take care of this child. So there are a lot of difficult time when he was born. So Jabez, the name reminds him of difficulty. That when he was born, his mother reminded him that this life is not going to be easy, right? It's going to be tough. You will face difficulty. You will face painful experience like I have. I don't know if the name would help you to define who you are. Johnny Cash, right? Anybody know Johnny Cash? Old enough. He sang a song called The Boy Named Sue, right? Anybody remember that? The Boy Named Sue. Go back, Google it, get on. It's about this boy, right? His name is Sue, okay? So every time he gets into a relationship, he got to fight. People make fun of his name. Oh, girl's name Sue, right? So he's really, you know, learned how to defend himself. So one day he found his father, right? And he hated his father for naming him Sue. He was going to kill his dad. You put this name in my life and I go through all this trouble. And then he stopped beating up his father, right? He beat up his father and the father, you know, fought back. And then finally he was on the ground and he was going to punch him or kill him. Well, the dad said, look, son, I know that I couldn't be there with you, so I named you Sue. Why, Dad? Why did you name me Sue? Well, naming you Sue will teach you how to fight, how to stand up for yourself, right? When people make fun of you, it'll make you strong, right? So the son goes, oh, yeah, thanks, Dad. Let's start crying. But name me anything but Sue, right? So Jabez, his name has pain. Yeah, pain in the neck, right? You were born in painful situation. You were born in a time where there is chaos. There is no king. You can't depend on the authority. Everyone is doing what they think is right in their own eye. So what do? Do you depend on authority? Do you depend on your father? No, he's not around. Do you depend on your mother? Your mother has been weakened through these difficult circumstances. So who are you going to depend on? Are there anybody in your life, right, that you depend totally upon? What do you depend on? What do we depend on? I guess we try to depend on our educational, right, attainment, right? We try to depend on our smart. Most Asian can't depend on their physical prowess, right? Unless you take kung fu and, you know, you're into this, like, right? Okay, you're not going to be able to, you know, scare people off with your muscle unless you got some, you know, psi stuff. What are you going to depend on, right? So that's the question that Jabez has to face. And the name of him describe perhaps mothers sending a message that your name remind you that in your life you will face obstacles. There will be difficult time. There will be painful experience, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain or disappointment or others' relationship, the world, politics, economy. the global system collapsing? Who are you going to depend on? Well, what that name has perhaps done, and the term more honorable that's describing Jabez is delineating in verse 10. Jabez cry out to God of Israel. Jabez was more honorable than his peers, his brothers, the people around him. And the scripture here says that because he cried out, he has this urge to cry out to God of Israel. Somehow he learned to depend on God. Perhaps he couldn't depend on anything else. It's a lesson that I think Jabez learned perhaps because of circumstances. But as brother in Christ, as Christian who seek our Lord, it is a good lesson to learn that we must depend on God. Ultimately, we cannot depend on anything, anyone, any system, any country, any diploma, any job title, any amount in your account. Ultimately, we would be blessed to be able to come to this prayer that Jabez cried to the Lord, to the God of Israel. And the four cry that he made. First, he said, "Oh, you would bless me." Wow. You would bless me. How many of you ever pray that prayer in a prayer group? Lord, bless me. People would turn around. What are you talking about? You're self-centered. You know, like, how many of you ever pray in a group said, Lord, bless me? Well, we pray humbly, right? Bless him, right? We bless the poor people. We bless all those people who have no home. We bless those sad bananas, right? You know, bless me, right? It's a kind of prayer that we normally don't pray, right? Because, you know, afraid to pray, right? Bless me, right? It's self-centered. It's crazy, right? It's like Donald Trump's prayer, right? Bless me. Well, people make fun of him because he's, you know, self, right? Here, Jabez said, Lord, bless me. Well, the term bless is, sometimes we don't know exactly what it is, right? But if we take the example of Abraham, right? Abraham was called out of his place in Ur, you know, Babylon, the center of civilization at that time, to come out. And God said, I will bless you. I will bless you with descendants. So blessing is in terms of people. In Abraham's life, blessing is a descendant, a child, where he could form a people of God. So first, we ask God to bless us, to give us relationship. If you're married, if your parents, give us children, right? Children that would give you delight. And if you are brothers and sisters in Christ, you pray for relationship. God bless us through vital relationship. We pray, Lord, bring us people into our lives, right? That through our relationship with them, I will be blessed. Right? People that you know may get you a job. But people you know may help you to overcome your trials. People you know would encourage you. People who you know that God bring into your life will bless you. Jabez said, bless me. Bless me. Let me be intelligent. Let me be diligent. Let me get an A. Let me get the best job that I can. Lord, bless me with the best person in my life. So that when that person comes, you know it's God's blessing. God, bless me with the job for you and for me, so I could pay my bills. Lord, bless me. Why? Because, like Abraham, God bless you so that you could be a blessing to others. It's a chain reaction of blessing. And it starts with you. It starts with me. And so Jabez asked God to bless him. Will you? Don't be afraid. Lord, bless me so that I could be a blessing to you and to others. And second prayer is that, Lord, enlarge my territory. Enlarging territory could be seen in terms of space, so that during that time is to be able to hold on to territory, space, land, so you could build tents for your children, for your clan in security. Enlarging territory could mean that you would go beyond your own, you know, neighborhood, right? Take a trip, right? Take a trip in the summer. Go places you haven't gone. There's a lot of things going on in New York City, right? Take a map. Get a book that was written by that sociologist in City College, right? He walked around New York City, wrote a book, every neighborhood, right? Expand your territory. Take a course, right? Study the Bible, read it through. Expand your knowledge of God's word. Expand your knowledge about the world. Take a trip. But I think more importantly is to expand your territory in terms of relationship that are different from yours. Relationship that you and I normally do not enter, because this is not the kind of relationship that we think we need. I'm talking about crossing our own ethnic identity. To be part of the American experiences. We're not just Chinese, right, from China. We're Americans. We gotta be part of this American experiences. We gotta learn how we come about. We gotta be part of the struggles that others has gone before us. Did you know that we yellow people and the black people, we came on the same boat? The black people came on slave trip, right, from Africa. After the slavery was abolished, right, the Portuguese converted the slave ship into coolie ship, right, went to Macau, okay? And out of the coolie was an alternative slave system, right, where our earlier ancestors became coolies. They were slaves. In fact, they were single. This is a system that's more economical, because coolie, you don't have to pay for their family. You don't have to take care of the children. 7 years, use them up, they're gone. Hey, new group, you don't have to take care of them. They converted slave ship into coolie ship, right? We got to know that. We got to understand the relationship. I guess some of us who grew up in New York, right? I went to City College near Harlem. We have that experience. So in the summer, I got a job working in East Harlem Community Corporation. That's like 30 years ago. Right? Trying to be part of the American experience. And then I was able to get an internship, right? Where I was the only Chinese graduate from an internship in community economic development in the city. I'm not bragging about it. I almost flunked out. I couldn't pass an accounting test. I had to take it like 3 times. I'm not good in math. That experience was enabled me to get a Fulbright grant to study Hong Kong, China. Expand your territory. Do not just stay in your own little enclave. We are Americans. We have to think in terms of being part of this world. Expand your relationship. Go beyond your own group. Enter into a relationship that is challenging you. Third, let your hand be with me. You know, sometimes when you are blessed by God, right? You're doing well, getting your A's, getting into your school, getting into your job. When you enlarge your territory, right, you're successful, you may accomplish. What those two experiences of or success sometime, right, lead us to think that we have done it. My smart, right? Me, I've done it. I worked hard. I accomplished. So the third prayer is that remind us that God's hand must be with us. So Jabez, humbly, that after he has been blessed, he's been successful, after his territory has been enlarged, he's become a world citizen, he has accomplished in his field, he is able to enter into new territory, he prayed that God, your hands, may your hands be with me. Jabez don't want to come to a point in his life where he thinks he could make it on his own. Jabez don't want to deceive himself that his success, that his accomplishment is because of how hard he works or how smart he is, how diligent he is. No, no, no. Jabez said, your hand, Lord, has to be with me. If your hand is not with me, whatever success you have in life, right, at the end of the day is really nothing. Jabez keep himself in humility that he's always, always dependent on the Lord to keep him going. Why? In prayer 4, keep me from harm. Keep me from harm. What kind of harm do we have? Well, people could come and punch you, right? Say, keep that guy from punching me, right? Keep that brick from falling on my head. Keep that car from smashing into me. Right? Those are the physical harm. Other harms are more internal, right? Temptation that derail us. You know, I think we have seen it, right, in our leaders. I mean, I cannot believe, right, there's Olympic in Rio, Brazil, and the women president is being what? Hauled up to be impeached. I said, how could a woman sin, right? I mean, for some of us, who's been, we think that sin is all committed by men, right? Here is a Brazilian leader who's a woman. How did she get in that position? I don't know. How did anybody get into this position of temptation and fall? Maybe they're too successful, right? Maybe they have been blessed too much. Maybe they have let go of God's hand, no longer asking God's hand to be with them. And so Jabez pray, very cautious, fear. Lord, keep me from harm. Keep me from harm from external forces. Keep me from people that will attack me, right? Keep me from trouble. Keep me from illnesses. Let me eat well. Keep me from getting sick. Keep me from falling into temptation. It would derail your project in my life. Free from pain. Pain is a very difficult situation, right? To endure pain. How many of you really have endure pain. Not just because your mother tell you to, you know, take the garbage out or do dishes. No, that's not, you know. I mean, pain in terms of physical pain, right? Physical limitation. Pain in terms of rejection by people. Pain in terms of not meeting the grade. Pain in terms of people judging you, right? Pain in terms of many, many things in life. Sometimes we cannot operate that well with pain. So false notion, right? So is it spiritual for a Christian to pray that God will keep us from pain? Yes, right? So some Christians said, Lord, give me pain so I could be more spiritual. Jesus said, if it's your will, take this bitter cup from me. It's our natural tendency. We don't want to go against our natural, say, Lord, you know, send me pain so I could boast about how much trouble I'm in, right? So if everything is smooth, I'm healthy, I'm success, I'm doing well, I can't boast about how spiritual I am, right? But Jabez said, Lord, keep me from harm so that I could be free from pain. So that every time I jump up and down and enjoying life, I give thanks to God because he has protected me. And the scripture at the end said, and God grant his requests. The scripture said, ask, you shall be given, right? And James said, you know, you don't have because you don't ask. Right. You're not blessed because you haven't asked, right? You have not extended your territory because you haven't asked. You have this kind of limited requests. We ask that God's presence will be with us. And the Lord granted Jabez's requests. And perhaps you could begin the prayer, and will God also grant you your prayer? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would bless all of us who are here, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who serve you here in this church. I thank God for so many young Christians who are here to be faithful to you, to learn about your truth, and to learn to love our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to worship him. I just pray, Lord, that you will continue your faithfulness to this new crop of Christian for your kingdom. Just like 30 years ago, I had the privilege to be part of those Christians who were faithful here. And Lord, we pray that you would enlarge their territory. Help them to get good grades. Help them to seek knowledge and do well in their school. Help them to get into the kind of school that would best prepare them to serve you. Lord, may your hand be upon all of us, that you would direct our path. Father, keep us from harm. Keep us from physical pain and ailments, and that we may be strong, but most of all, keep us from pain from the inside, harmful thoughts or habits, harmful relationship that would bring us into trouble, weaken us. Lord, we come with faith, knowing that you will answer our prayer. Pray this in our Lord's name. Amen.